Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. The nation's largest organic farming conference celebrates its 25th anniversary this year, and it kicks off next Thursday at the La Crosse Center. The Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Service, or MOSES, is expecting more than 3,000 farmers, educators, and advocates, all with an interest in organic farming practices. I talked with MOSES Executive Director, Faye Jones, and Organic Specialist, Harriet Bihar, about this year's conference. I asked Faye to talk about the first conference 25 years ago.
Well, it was exciting, and it was 90 people, and we thought that was just amazing that 90 people came. It was, you know, I had a little place in La Crosse, and we got this really big guy named Elliot Coleman from the East Coast to come out and be our keynote speaker, and, you know, I want people to know that Harriet's been a part of the conference as long as I have, you know, whether it was a presenter or on the planning committee. The excitement that I felt back then, I still feel today,
I can hear it
years later.
I can hear it in your voice.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I don't think any of us thought in our wildest dreams that this would, you know, become the largest organic farming conference really in the known galaxy.
Harriet, did you feel the same way, you know, 25 years ago when you first met with those 90 or so people? Did you ever think that this would grow into what it's become?
Well, we've always hoped that organic would grow and become more accepted and more organic farms. And, of course, Vernon County has the highest concentration of organic farms in the nation. And even then, there's certain things about the conference that have retained its characteristic, and that is the networking, just how good it is for the organic farmers to get together and share their knowledge, share their successes, share their failures. That has been, that camaraderie has always been there from the very beginning and is present there yet today.
So 25 years ago, when you all decided that this area did need an organic farming conference, what was the driving force behind that? What was the thought process that we should get people together?
Well, I have to say, you're asking a really interesting question. And over the last 2 weeks, I've asked that of the early organizers. Well, whose idea was this? Or where did this come from? I have 5 different answers so far. And I'll tell you, the summary of those answers is everybody says it was someone else's idea. Nobody wants to say, yeah, that was my idea. It sprung out of the early Crop Organic Valley Co-op group, because they were a year old, and they had done some classes at the Votech College, and lots of people have come, and they said, we want to do this conference. And so they just started calling around to other people. I was one. Harriet was one, saying, hey, we want to get this conference together. I had worked on a conference in Minnesota. And we all got together, and really those first 5 or 6 years was just a bunch of volunteers and a checkbook.
And so it started out 90 people. How many people are you expecting to attend this year?
3,400 is our max capacity, and we're expecting, you know, 3,200 to 3,400 people.
Wow. And these are people coming from all over the country, and not only as experts, but people coming to learn.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's really a conference that's focused for farmers. This is, you know, we believe farmers learn best from farmers. And so it's about production agriculture. It's about how to control weeds in your corn crop. It's about scaling up your vegetable, you know, with a whole diversity of stuff.
And raising healthy animals without the use of many outside inputs, really approaching organic agriculture from a systems base rather than inputs base.
And it's interesting to think that, you know, 100 years ago or so, all farming was considered organic. At what point did the farming industry sort of go through this shift where then we needed to sort of turn back around and come back towards people really focusing on organic?
Well, I think we found that many of the wisdom from the past had been kind of put aside with the excitement of the new kind of industrial age and the ease that chemical agriculture offered to people with, you know, well, I don't have to cultivate anymore. I can just use the herbicide. But there was so much wisdom that was lost when you moved to a totally different system. Like, how do you maintain soil fertility, and how do you promote the diversity on the landscape, and how that affects your pest and disease control. And so we found over time that that wisdom of the past, along with the better understandings that we've gained through science and understanding of natural systems, so organic is a melding of the two, the respect for the wisdom of the past while using the new tools of the future that mimic nature.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about the upcoming Midwest Organic Farming Conference. It's February 27th through March 1st at the La Crosse Center. My guests today are with the Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Service, or MOSES, that helps put on the conference. The executive director is Faye Jones, and organic specialist Harriet Bihar. Harriet, you talked a bit about that shift in organic, but how much has organic changed in the last 25 years, and have you seen any results from this conference?
Well, we've definitely seen results because we've seen the farmers learning from each other. And so those early pioneers were really, you know, breaking new ground and experimenting with lots of things. The people coming in now have mentors. When we actually have a mentoring program where we link up experienced people with new people to organic. There's kind of the old crowd that know and teach the new people coming in. So there's kind of a safety net that you're getting information that is now a little bit more tried and true than maybe it was 25 years ago when there was a lot of experimentation.
And Faye, with this shift that we've seen in organic, how much of it is farmer-driven and how much of it is based on consumer demand?
Supply and demand applies pretty much everywhere. So you can't have one without the other. They drive each other. But I would definitely say that, you know, the interest in people who are new to farming, either as a second career or a first career, they see organic as a good option. They got premium prices. There can be guaranteed some of your prices, and so it takes both. And I really believe that, you know, farmers come to organic farming for all kinds of different reasons. Everything from, you know, personal health event, you know, their father has Parkinson's, to, you know, it economically makes sense, which is a great reason, because if it doesn't economically make sense, you can't do it. And I think that will continue, that you need both drivers. You know, the eaters out there are, you know, the market is not being met. The need for organic feed, you know, livestock feed, the need for large-scale vegetable producers to be providing hospitals and kitchens and schools is great.
According to the USDA, Wisconsin has the second most organic operations to California. And that's number of operations. It's not looking at acreage or whatnot. And if I'm not mistaken, Wisconsin also has the most organic dairy operations. Is that correct?
Dairy cows, yes.
Dairy cows, okay. How did we get to this point where Wisconsin is such a driver in this industry?
Well, it doesn't hurt that Organic Valley is centered here, although they do have farmers all over the country. But, you know, Wisconsin is just a really good place for dairying. This has always been the dairy state, and that's because we have the right climate. We've got abundant clean water. We've got wonderful land for grazing. And so it's just a good place to have dairy animals and be able to manage them and keep them healthy, because climactically, we have the right ecosystem for them.
And how did Southwest Wisconsin become such a hub for organic? Of course, we know Organic Valley is based in Vernon County. I mean, how does that explain all the other small little organic farmers around here?
Because of the hilly terrain in Southwest Wisconsin, the Driftless region, you find a lot more smaller family farms. And so it's kind of hard to have the giant 300 horsepower tractor when your field is only 15 acres. So you've got that smaller scale, somewhat artisan farming already built into the countryside, because the smaller sized fields, the work ethic, there used to be a lot of tobacco grown here, which is very much a hand labor. And so a lot of those people who used to do tobacco now have moved to vegetables or even doing poultry. Eggs and broilers. So they've gone to kind of that smaller scale products. And one thing that organic provides is an economic viability on smaller acreage.
Hey, Faye, did you want to add anything to...
I think everything Harriet said is spot on, but I also want to... One of the things that's unique about Wisconsin is, you know, the whole state has this geographic diversity, and so we don't have lots of big flat lands. Because we have geographic diversity, it also means diversity in agriculture. And in addition, we are anchored, Chicago, Minneapolis, St. Paul, by some of the largest cities in our nation. In addition to, you know, a lot of big cities in the state, you know, a lot of these small producers in western Wisconsin, the Twin Cities is their market. Over southeast, they're going into Chicago. And so I think it's a combination of all of these things. Of course, I'd also like to think it's because there's this amazing conference right here in Wisconsin that is providing that one-on-one educational opportunities for farmers to learn from other farmers.
It's really interesting to me when I hear about the people, though, from Chicago or Minneapolis actually moving to this area for organic farming. They want to get out of the city and just get back to the land.
Yes, and that's one thing that even Secretary Vilsack has mentioned and is happy to see in this farm bill is this promotion for beginning farmers, because we have kind of an aging farm population. But a lot of people come to farming through their desire to be organic, because there's so much of an entrepreneurial attitude in organic. There's experimentation. There's much more, less of a cookie-cutter type of farming where this is what you do. You put this fertilizer on, you spray that herbicide, and then you're done. In organic, you have to think a little bit more about working with your ecosystem, having your crop rotation fit each individual field. And so there is more work and more thought, but it's also more empowering for the farmer. And a lot of young farmers are attracted to that.
It's probably worth mentioning that both of you are farmers and growers in your own right. Harriet, can you first talk about the farm that you run with your husband?
Sure. I have an organic vegetable farm. I've been with Organic Valley since 1989, so I'm one of the longer-time vegetable growers with them. I also grow medicinal and culinary herbs and dry them here. And actually this summer, I'm very excited. I have a young woman who's a veteran who's going to come and be an intern on the farm and do some of the work here, because I can't keep up with it all.
Oh, how neat. What kind of vegetables do you grow?
Mostly tomatoes, squash, peppers, and onions.
And Faye, you're also a gardener, and you grow flowers for markets?
I don't grow flowers for market anymore.
Okay.
I did for 15 years. I grew fresh-cut flowers, and I marketed them to grocery stores in the Twin Cities.
And I did my wedding.
And
oh,
I did Harriet's
nice.
Wedding. I only do weddings for good friends, nobody else. There's a reason wedding flowers cost a lot of money. But I grow garlic right now as a commercial crop that we actually sell to CSA farms. That, you know, that's just a crop that's too much for them to grow. And my husband and I raise meat, birds, and Highlander beef that we also direct market.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about the upcoming Midwest Organic Farming Conference in La Crosse. My guests are Faye Jones. She's Executive Director of MOSES, Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Service, and Harriet Bihar. She's the Organic Specialist with MOSES. As you guys said, this is aimed towards farmers, but also you get a lot of organic advocates that come, students, maybe farming educators.
Researchers, that's the other big group. Researchers from around the country doing organic researchers.
And we'll be having 50 posters from those researchers at the conference, with cutting-edge organic research from land-grant universities as well as on-farm trials. So there'll be a lot of interest in the upper concourse around that.
What do you think are some of the major issues that will be on the forefront of farmers' minds this year?
The economics. Because, you know, in organics, we have some of the same issues with high feed prices, you know, and we had not the greatest growing season last year, and then, of course, the drought the year before that. So there's issues with in the livestock side with feed availability. And on the vegetable side, it is always the same issues of how can I do a better job? How can I be more effective and efficient on my farm and produce a higher quality product so more of what I grow will end up in the marketplace?
Harriet, you said there will also be some sessions on the Farm Bill. And within this Farm Bill that was just passed and signed into law, there are a handful of programs within it that relate to organic farming. I wonder if maybe we should go through the list and kind of break it down for some people. One of the biggest changes seems to be crop insurance for organic products. Can you explain maybe what sort of difference this will make to farmers and if consumers will be able to tell if there's a difference with this?
Right now, a lot of organic growers of corn and soybeans and wheat and barley and other, and especially vegetables, really don't have access to crop insurance, even though rain and drought affects them just as equally as it would a conventional farmer, because they cannot insure their crop to the organic price, even if they have it contracted. Right now, organic corn is going for close to $11 a bushel, but if they would have gotten crop insurance, they would have only been able to insure it to the conventional price. So that really stifled participation in that crop insurance program. And the Congress has mandated that there will be a much larger organic price selection for organic producers by 2015. Now, there are some in the corn and the soybeans, but there's a lot of things like they can't insure their pastures, whereas conventional farmers could, and especially not at the organic price. So it doesn't really pay for them to do organic crop insurance. The one program that we were very excited about to get back is organic certification cost share. And it was somewhat of a heavy lift to get that back into the Farm Bill, but we did. We had a year when we didn't have it. And this really opens the door for new people. There should be no excuses for anyone saying, I don't get certified as organic because it's too expensive, because there is a cost share program that will pay 2/3 of the cost, up to $750. So actually, it's 3/4 of the cost. So there's really no excuse, and so we could bring more people into the organic marketplace with certification now that we have organic certification cost share. And Wisconsin took over 10% of the cost share dollars in 2012. We took $560,000, was spread out amongst organic farmers in Wisconsin in 2012 out of a $5 million national program.
And there's also money within the Farm Bill that will go towards organic farming research and certain kinds of technology upgrades as well.
Yes, and that's Wisconsin also has, I believe, three or four of our experimental farms through the university have certified organic land where they're doing experiments on all types of vegetables, corn, soybeans, small grains, soil fertility management using organic systems. There's a lot of exciting things happening on the experimental farms here in Wisconsin, and that Organic Research and Extension Initiative grant has been very useful to Wisconsin, so we're happy to see that back.
What sort of differences will these different provisions that are in the Farm Bill make in the world of organic farming?
Well, it gives us a strong foundation to keep moving forward and growing. We do need, you know, the help of the greater community, from the consumer to the researcher to, the educational institutions, to extension, to conservation programs, to help us do a better job on the farm and keep us economically viable so we can continue to grow organic for the future.
So beyond sessions on the Farm Bill, there's also so many workshops where people can learn what seems like almost anything associated with organic farming. Faye, can you talk about these different workshops and just the wide array of topics that you'll be presenting?
We like to say there's something for every kind of farmer at our conference, from soil to livestock. One of the unique things about our conference is it really is focused on the workshops. The workshop presenters are the heart of our conference. So we have six sessions a day with 10 concurrent workshops at a time. People tell me over and over the hardest part is deciding what workshop to go to because they want to go to them all. And we try to make sure that we have a really good balance of, you know, soil, because organic farming is really based in the soil. Healthy soil, you know, healthy crops, healthy people, it all fits together. But some of the newer topics this year, or, you know, things that we've not had a lot, we have, you know, Mark Shepard, who's recently written a new book. He's one of our keynoters. He does farm-scale permaculture kind of workshops. So he's doing a workshop. He's a lot of fun to listen to. He's really all about just experimenting with all kinds of different things. In addition, this year, we're really trying to address some of those issues that row crop farmers face. Hay and pasture are so critical to it, so there's more covering of that topic in addition to, you know, how to have soybeans be a successful part of your rotation, because rotation is what organic farmers are all about. In addition, we have, on Thursday, we have 10 pre-conference courses that are all day long on Thursday. And you spend a whole day, limited class attendance to like 60. We've got one on hogs. We've got one on berries, all kinds of topics, so that people that really want to have that in-depth experience can. What people really love about the conference is the opportunity to meet and talk with their peers. You sit down at the lunch table. It's a big round table. You meet somebody you know.
Let's not forget some of the other items, too, that we have at the conference. And that is a very large exhibit hall where there's all kinds of services and people who sell compost and plants and equipment and machinery and different organizations that offer programs for organic producers, as well as the very large Moses or bookstore where we sell, over 400 titles of books for people to take the learning home with them. And then this year, for the third year in a row, we have a corner called Ask the Expert, including a lawyer corner, where you can sign up for, I think it's 15 or 20 minutes, to talk to a soil consultant or a veterinarian or an agricultural lawyer and ask them specific questions about your farm, a one-on-one session, and no charge, just come and sign up.
There is programming aimed towards beginning farmers, too. And I'm sure this is something that you probably have every year, though.
We have a whole track called the New Organic Stewards. And so we do have courses that we have flagged and specifically even talked to the workshop presenters that there'll be a lot of kind of beginning farmers in these classes to kind of help them get a good foothold on various aspects of farming. And it's not just vegetables, it's livestock and field crops too.
And Faye, you mentioned one of the keynote speakers earlier, Mark Shepard, but there are two others. Do you want to talk a bit about what they'll be presenting?
Mark Shepard and Anna LePay are both speaking together on Friday prior to our Farmer of the Year award. And, you know, Anna's going to be looking at the big picture, you know, the global perspective, and Mark is going to be sort of the in-the-dirt kind of guy. They've actually known each other for a long time, and Anna has seen Mark kind of transform this very barren, you know, not very healthy soil into a vibrant, wonderful ecosystem. And I have a strong connection to Anna's mom, because 34 years ago I heard her speak about organic farming, and I said, I'm going to be an organic farmer. That's what I'm going to do with my life. So it feels like coming home to have her speak. And Alan Gubert, who has been a national syndicated ag writer for many, many years, is really going to be giving us, you know, a bigger national picture on you know, really what's happening in agriculture. He doesn't hold anything back. He's not like he's an organic person all alone, but he really believes in what we're doing. So those are some of the keynoters.
So taking a step back and really looking at this conference itself, how important is it to continue having this, and how important is it in the world of organic farming, not only in Wisconsin, but throughout the Midwest?
Well, nothing's more important than this conference. It's the change agent, you know. This is
This is how agriculture is changing, one farm at a time.
Harriet, do you want to add to that?
Well, what's important too is this recognition that we really are an important part of agriculture in Wisconsin. We bring diversity, we bring vitality, we bring enthusiasm, and of course we have a very strong consumer base here as well. But not only that, organic agricultural production brings a lot of money from out of state back into Wisconsin, really helping create a vital and strong economy here.
Harriet Behar is an organic specialist, and Faye Jones is the executive director of MOSES, Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Service. The group hosts the nation's largest organic farming conference, and it's in La Crosse next weekend. This will be the 25th anniversary for the conference. Online registration has closed, but there will possibly be some limited on-site registration when the conference starts next Thursday, February 27th, at the La Crosse Center. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, organics aren't the only theme for upcoming farm conferences in the area. Women farmers in western Wisconsin have their own get-together next Friday in Sparta. We'll talk about the Heart of the Farm conference next. Archives of this and other recent editions of Newsmakers can be found on our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. You can also like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. In the United States, about 30% of farm operators are women. That's according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's 2007 Census of Agriculture. And that number had been on the rise for the last several years. Next week, there's a conference that will bring together our area's female farmers to network and learn about different farming issues. Heart of the Farm Conference is Friday, February 28th in Sparta at the Justin Trails Resort. My guests today to talk about this conference are Joy Kirkpatrick. She's the outreach specialist at the UW Center for Dairy Profitability, and Bill Halfman. He's UW Extension's Monroe County Agricultural Agent. Joy, can you talk about why exactly it is that you all are hosting a farming conference that's really geared towards female farmers?
We've been hosting these types of conferences for the past several years, and we recognize the role that women play on the farm and find that while the issues that and the topics that we cover may be slightly different, but a lot of them are still the farm management topics that we offer at other programs, one of the things that we found is that women sometimes feel a bit more comfortable in a setting that they know is specifically targeting them, and that they know that there'll be other women at the conference. So they feel a little more comfortable about attending, even if they don't know anybody else that will be there. And then they feel more comfortable with asking questions and engaging with our speakers when they know that it's going to be mostly a female audience.
And Bill, have you noticed, maybe not even just the farmers that you work with in Monroe County, but other farmers across the state who come to this conference, has it brought on much of a difference within the farming community in Wisconsin since this conference kicked off?
I think it has. Actually, several years ago when my parents were still actively farming, my mom used to attend the Heart of the Farm workshops up in the area where I grew up at in northwestern Wisconsin, and she really enjoyed them. Felt like there was a lot of good things that she learned and could come home and help implement. And you know, you mentioned the 30% of farms are operators, but there's a lot more of the farm ladies that are co-managing the farm with their husband, and you know, are definitely involved in the decision making and all the different roles on the farm, and it's good for them as well to get ideas, take them home, and work with the family to implement those ideas on their farm. There have been a number of folks here in the county that have appreciated the things that they have learned and taken them home, talked about them with their families, and been able to implement them in their farms to make things better.
And Joy, do you want to talk about any of the differences that you've seen or maybe stories that you've heard about as a result of this conference?
We've done some evaluations of the participants who have attended Heart of the Farm conferences over the past several years, and they really appreciate learning about things or getting information and resources that they can take back and implement immediately. So a lot of the things that we see result of this conference or they've organized their paperwork or their financial management, which helps them make better decisions on if they should or shouldn't implement some sort of practice. So we see a lot of impact with them organizing papers, making plans for farm succession and transition have been some pretty popular topics, and then those are things that they can take back to their farm and start working on. Those are a bit longer term sorts of impacts. You know, that's not something that can happen overnight. And then they also enjoy looking at some production information that they can take back and use on their farm.
Both of you talked about how sometimes this conference can be, it can just be more comfortable for women farmers to get together. I mean, I know it has to be important to have a network for different female farmers. I mean, does anything come about from the relationships that they build with each other at these conferences?
You know, we've asked if they've interacted with women from the conference that they've met at the conference after they've attended, and that has happened. They tend to network with women. You know, what we've found is women who are on the farm may not necessarily have neighbors that are in the same situation that they are, because there may not be farms just down the road at like there used to be. So their network needs to be a bit wider than the geographic neighborhood. And then a lot of farm women may work off the farm at a job in town, but then come home to their other full-time job of being on the farm. Even though they may have interactions with other people on a daily basis or very often during the week, the people that they work with may not quite understand what the idea that they're going back home and working their other full-time job. So the feelings of isolation for farm women because of those things, the geographic change that the farms aren't just one run after the other down the road, and then working in an environment off the farm that people may not value or understand what they're doing on the farm, can really make the women feel very isolated. So when they come to these meetings and they can talk with someone that they've never met, but they have so much in common and can instantly bond over some issues or some of the funnier things that happen in farm life, it really does help them feel less isolated.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about the Heart of the Farm Conference. It's Friday, February 28th in Sparta. My guests are Joy Kirkpatrick. She's the Outreach Specialist at UW Center for Dairy Profitability, and Bill Halfman. He's UW Extension's Monroe County Agricultural Agent. Bill, we talked about those census numbers that I mentioned. Actually, the way it breaks down is in the U.S., women are the principal operators on just 14% of the nation's farms. And in Wisconsin, women are the principal farm operators on just 12% of the farms in the state. It seems like that's still a pretty low percentage in the grand scheme of things. Why are they still like that?
In a lot of ways, it's probably because tradition is a hard thing to break. However, as we see farms change, and we have a lot more interest in local-grown foods and a lot more farm operations that are going into more unique and specialty-type products, we are seeing an increase in the type of those operations that the ladies are actually the leading force and the proprietors of those kinds of things. And it's, you know, having the opportunity to work with some of them and help them evaluate their options and get them started has been fun, and watching them succeed and grow is always a good thing, that you know, that you could help them get the right information so they can make decisions to make it a successful operation.
I was actually surprised because the census showed that the Midwest has the lowest percentage of farms with females as the principal operators. And in the West, in New England, it was the highest. So, yeah, Joy, I mean, is it come down to a lot of tradition?
When you think about the, what is the probably the largest, the kinds of enterprises that are in the Midwest, you're still looking at probably grain farming is bigger than maybe on the coasts. And then also for Wisconsin, dairy farming is still, you know, the largest enterprise in the state. So when you think about those two types of enterprises, the mostly grain farming or livestock, the dairy farming component of it, that's, you know, bigger machinery most likely. Those are the commodities that are being raised here, and those aren't maybe attracting women farmers as the primary operators of those sorts of enterprises.
So what types of farming are we seeing more women as the primary operators?
You know, it is a range of all of those. We do have women who are primary operators of grain farms and dairy farms, but when you look at some of the newer farms, it may be more specialized enterprises. Niche marketing can really be a way that a woman who maybe isn't farming with a partner, maybe a beginning farm woman, can start out with a smaller overhead capital investment on maybe crop and vegetable farming, CSA, or farmers market types of farms, or smaller livestock farming, maybe something that they get started with. So they don't have to have the capital investment of the machinery or the capital investment of facilities for bigger dairy farms, and they can start out in a smaller way that way. And that also may be what may be more attractive to them is because it's a local food market, that may be a driving force or a value that they see that they want to be a part of.
There was another statistic I came across that showed that most farms that are owned by women are generally smaller than the average farm, and that would probably go along with what you both talked about when it comes to specialty crops and whatnot.
In addition to those, I mean, we also look at the nursery and greenhouse industry, which is part of agriculture. And, you know, we're seeing growth in that industry, and there's a lot of women that are involved in that aspect of agriculture as well.
So those last numbers that came out through the U.S. Census was from 2007, which is, you know, 7 years ago at this point. Do we have any sense as to whether or not over these last 6-7 years, if more and more women are getting involved in farming?
I don't have any specific insight on the factual numbers, but just from observations, I would be very surprised if we don't see increases in farm women operators in when the new numbers are released.
And those new numbers should be coming out fairly soon, I do believe.
Okay. So obviously women have been involved on farms. This is nothing new. But are their roles changing on the farms when it comes to the way that maybe they're working with their partner or the decision-making or the different duties that they're taking on? Bill?
Yes, they have in many instances taken on greater roles than what we might have think of in a traditional old-fashioned type sense. A lot of them are, you know, have bigger roles in management and have specific areas that are actually assigned, you know, not officially assigned, but unofficially, you know, they're the ones that take charge of certain areas on farm operations.
And Joy, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think women, as you said, that it's nothing new to have women on the farm. And helping with that and making decisions. And I think for lots of years, decades, they have been, you know, helping influence decisions that have been made. I think that the difference may be that we're recognizing that outside world, the professionals that are working with farm families are recognizing their roles and their values and realizing that we need to be connected with them and value what they're doing. So I think, you know, there's a little bit that they are doing more and making more decisions and being more active in the in their roles, but we also have to realize that that's been going on for a lot of years, and we've been recognized. Just in the recent years, it's being recognized a bit more.
So a lot of these farms are obviously family farms that have been passed down to either daughters or wives. But are we seeing a lot of first-time female farmers in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I haven't looked at those statistics recently, but I do believe that we do have a lot of beginning women farmers. But I hesitate to say any numbers or
sure.
any statistics. But you know, we have, and as I said, that a lot of times they are in the more into the specialized and niche marketing, and because of the direct marketing, I think is maybe a bit more attractive to people, and also the commodity markets are a little bit harder, larger capital investment to get into.
Well, it'll be interesting to see too with the Farm Bill's recent passage. There are more programs aimed at beginning farmers, but just to see the impact that could have on not only beginning farmers in Wisconsin, but how much of a role women will play into maybe securing some of those loans.
There are Farm Services Agency and other programs are actively targeting women farmers, and so that is something that is valuable and can help them start out. And you know, they have a program that's more of a micro loan, which is a perfect fit for those smaller farms. They may not need a large loan, and the micro loans can help with some of those enterprises.
I did a word search within the Farm Bill. I found that the word women is actually only in the Farm Bill 4 times, and only one of those times is it really geared towards programs that help with women-owned farms. Do you think that that's problematic, or is that sort of normal within the Farm Bill? If you can find anything
really
in the Farm Bill normal.
I don't have a comment on that one.
Okay. Bill, do you have any insight into that?
No, it's hard to know without kind of looking at the whole thing as
sure.
a picture standpoint.
Sure. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about the upcoming Heart of the Farm Conference in Sparta, a farm conference aimed towards women. My guests today are Bill Halfman, he's UW Extension's Monroe County Agricultural Agent, and Joy Kirkpatrick, she's Outreach Specialist at the UW Center for Dairy Profitability. So the Heart of the Farm Conference, although it's geared towards women, not all the breakout sessions necessarily have to do with being a woman. You'll be talking about climate change, crop insurance, health. Bill, can you kind of describe some of the different sessions that you guys will be putting on?
I can, and I guess one thing that the listeners may be interested to know is we actually bring together a planning committee of farm ladies in the fall to find out what's on their minds and what topics are of interest to them, so we can put together a program that has information on it that they've expressed interest in and that they can hopefully take that information home and use it on their farm operations.
So this is all based on the input from area farmers.
That's right. And as far, you know, looking at the climate change, that was one of the topics that came up. And as we look back at the last, probably 5 years, we've observed a lot more extreme weather conditions throughout the course of the year. And several of the ladies that were at our planning session were interested to find out more about what's going on with this weather and how might that affect their farming operations. And so we're able to find Dick Walkowski, who's one of our soil scientists at UW Extension that's retired now, but he's been looking into that and been doing some things to evaluate that. And so we were able to get him to come and kind of share the information that he's found regarding the climate change and what kind of impacts it may be having on Wisconsin agriculture.
And, of course, the changes with crop insurance are something that a lot of people are going to have to really start digging through and figuring out.
Right. You know, as we were talking about earlier, the kinds of decisions that the farm ladies probably have been involved with for a long time in some instances, but I think in some instances more and more of them are involved in that. That was another topic, again, that they ladies were, with all the different kinds of farm of crop insurance policies that you can buy, it can be overwhelming to look at it to anybody. And the questions came up from them, you know, is there some way we could learn more about what these kinds of different options are to allow us to make better informed decisions? And so we're actually have a couple of the ladies that are crop insurance agents in Monroe County, and we asked them if they could come and kind of give an overview of what the different products are.
But then you'll also have a session, something that is geared towards female farmers, a session focused on getting more women on cooperative boards and in leadership roles. Why is something like that important when in Wisconsin farming?
You know, there's a lot of organizations that have board of directors, and at all different levels, from local type boards to state level and national level boards. And really, it's important that we have a, in my opinion, it's important that these organizations have a good representation from all of their members as they look at the future of their organizations and what's best for the membership. And I think that, ladies can certainly share from their perspective what's important to them and whether or not how closely that matches up to men and their perspectives on things. You know, there may be some differences there, and I think getting good feedback from all their members is important for the groups to make the best informed decisions.
And Joy, yeah, getting more women in leadership roles, will that change farming in Wisconsin?
I think it will balance it a bit more. I mean, when you think about the number of women that are out there that are farming with a male partner, you know, their husband or a partner, and you see the numbers that are out there. I mean, every day Bill and I are working with farms where the women in that family or on that farm are just as involved and engaged in the decisions. And then when you look at boards, organizations that are oriented to farming, and you don't see that. You don't see that balance as much. And so it's really important for us to, you know, if you really want to be a service to the farm community, those organizations really need to recognize that that those boards need to be a bit more balanced. I think there are some organizations are doing a much better job than others, but it's not necessarily the organization that has to the organization has to value that and be a part of making those balanced, but we also have to make sure the women see the importance of their being on the boards and their voice being there so that they understand that the balance needs to be there. And I think that is a lot of what Ann Reynolds will be talking about helping women recognize why it's so important that they be a part of those organizations.
Is there anything else that the two of you would like people to know about the upcoming Heart of the Farm conference, Bill?
Well, one thing that might be of interest to some folks is actually one of the things that will be part of it is a little tour of the Justin Trails Resort, and that actually is a farm site, and they have done some remodeling to the barn. It's near Sparta, south of Sparta. It's out on Catherine Avenue and south of Sparta, and they've turned the barn into kind of a the downstairs is set up as a conference center, and the upstairs, the old hayloft, has actually been redone into a place for dances and receptions and things of that nature. So it's kind of neat what they've done. They're kind of doing some agritourism there, and so folks will get a little chance to kind of see what that's about and learn from the Justin's what kind of an adventure that's been for them. So,
Joy, is there anything else that you'd like to talk about with the upcoming Heart of the Farm conference?
Yeah, I would like to just really encourage any farm women who haven't been to a Heart of the Farm conference to really consider coming to this one in Sparta, because If you've not been to one, it's really hard to describe the energy and the welcoming it's a lot of fun. I mean, when you look at the topics that you see on the agenda, if you've gotten a brochure, if you see that in the newspaper, or, you know, just listening to what we were talking about here, those are pretty heavy, you know, very important, very serious topics somewhat, but the atmosphere at these conferences are not heavy. They're a lot of fun. There's a lot of laughing, and I think it's a really nice way for women to take a break, maybe if they can have a day away, but they're still bringing something back to their business, so they don't have to feel guilty about it.
Joy Kirkpatrick is the outreach specialist for the UW Center for Dairy Profitability, and Bill Halfman is the UW Extension agricultural agent for Monroe County. I talked with them about the Heart of the Farm Conference coming up Friday, February 28th in Sparta, which is for women farmers. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. If you'd like to comment on our program or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. You can also find Newsmakers on Facebook, updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.